And now for something completely different. Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's totally terrific, totally transforming, and totally triumphant Tuesday as we find unity from the Father, through the Son, and by the Holy Spirit, all for the glory of God Almighty. First, in the middle of chapter 4 of Galatians, Paul picks up the ferocious pace. He states that the false teachers who are just anxious to win your favor are not doing it to help you. Instead, they're doing it so that you'll pay attention to them. Essentially, this means that these false teachers are at the center of their own teaching. They're not trying to push or pull anybody towards the Lord. They're trying to push and pull people towards themselves and themselves alone. Large personalities are not bad, but large personalities that gather unto themselves for themselves to glorify themselves is another matter altogether. Paul next expresses a pretty decent level of frustration when he tells the believers how he wishes he could be there with them right now, but he doesn't know what else to do. That's expressing genuine concern for their spiritual well-being. Not everything in the kingdom of God is rainbow and roses. And then finally, Paul steps up his argument to make sure they understand that they're saved by grace and not reconverting themselves under a baptism of the law. He makes an illustration of two women who have two children, Sarah and Hagar. The one woman had the child by promise. The other had the child because they were trying to force the hand of God in fulfillment of his promise. From a human perspective, guess which one turned out to be a problem? Guess which one happens, and guess what happens when we try to make something happen for God by human effort? Yep, it's the mess they created, and it's amazing because it's the same mess we do now.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. That's nice. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Don't forget politics. Poly, many, ticks, blood-sucking insects. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're going to ask you what you think, but first we're going to take a phone call because somebody's calling in. So let's hear what somebody has to say. Knock, knock, this is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, Dave, it's Jay.
Hey, Jay, do me a favor, make sure your radio's turned down. We don't want to get that echo.
Yeah, I just turned it off.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate that. What's going on? Talk to me, bro.
Well, your last teaching made me think of something when you were talking about loving family or other people, or feeling like you love family or other people more than you love Jesus.
Okay.
In a theological way, that's impossible. If you go to for John chapter 1, verse 3, where it says, through him, nothing was made that has been made. So my mom, my dad, my daughters wouldn't be here were it not for Jesus. And so it's, if I don't love him first, I can't love them because they wouldn't exist without him.
Excellent, excellent bring up. I mean, that's a great point to make, and that is without him, they wouldn't be there in the first place, and you would never have any level of appreciation for him. And that's a great way to understand it, that, look, it has to be God first. It's not, you know, seek first the kingdom of God, not what you're thinking about.
Exactly. Well, it's like appreciating the farmer for planting and reaping the wheat. You wouldn't have the wheat were it not for the one who planted, sowed, and gave the increase.
Excellent. So. Excellent observation, brother. Very, very solid. Very, very
love
good.
Love you, Dave.
Hey, love you, bro. God bless you.
You too, buddy.
Bye-bye. Excellent for Jay. And by the way, we're praying for Jay. He's supposed to get a breakthrough. He's going through a tough time with different things that are attacking him on a regular basis. On your prayer list, it doesn't take you 16 hours to say, hey, Lord, help Jay make a breakthrough. It just doesn't take that long. And that's why Paul said, I mention you in prayers. You're not required to, you know, put a timer up there and go, I got to pray for this amount of time. No, you don't. Just bring him up before the Lord and pray for that brother. He's a great brother trying to find it. Do it right before the Lord. Okay, now let's go back. So you know, I'm going to reverse it back. You're thinking, how are you going to do that? Here's what the deal is, okay? If you want to reach out to us during the show, you can do that, okay? You can do what Jay just did. You can call. We got a bunch of people texting. It happens on a regular basis all the time. In fact, it's getting harder to respond to everybody's text because there's so many people. But that's okay. We're just going to keep fighting the good fight and try to do it. Don't text less because of that. In fact, text more. Bottom line is you can reach out to us by email, david@hemusincrease.org. It does come to my very fancy 19-cent Chromebook. I'm going 19 cents because it still has a light on and both the hinges still work. So that's where I'm going. I couldn't give this away. It's just not possible. It's like the slowest thing ever. It's like when I go like this with my fingers, it's faster than the computer could ever dream of being. Anyway, so if you send me an email, it'll get there. If you want to text me, 214-210-8483. Let me say that again a little faster. 214-210-8483. Okay, or you can text 214-210-8483, or you can call us. And that's simply this. You call 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you make that call, you'll end up talking to Amazing Jen.
Amazing.
See, that was good. That just that you held that whole thing just for that one little sound play. It's amazing. When you talk to Jen, look, it's like talking to a person you can count on. And there's one thing I will say about Jennifer at this station. She is the one rock you can always count on. She's the one that gets everything running. Don owns it, but Jennifer runs it. Just think of it in those terms. It's simple. And then Jacob's going to step into the position of helping us facilitate everything we're doing. That's why you got to pray for him, right? Okay. So you want to have a prayer request? You got a praise report? You got something you want to share? Totally, totally, totally awesome, right? Anything is open for conversation except for kvetching. And you're saying, what is kvetching? That's the Yiddish word for kvetching. Now, kvetching is whining, okay? No whining, okay? I know there's a lot of things going on in the country, in the world, maybe even in your life, and it's kind of irritating from time to time. I get you. And there are places to go and places to vent, especially if it's in a political nature, places to call and places to vent. We don't think that's bad. We think it's great if that's what the Lord's called them to do. That's what they should do. If that's our call is to encourage one another. We make goofy comments. And we don't spend a ton of time on it because really, when it comes down to it, there's only one kingdom that lasts forever. And it's not one made by man. So, okay. So therefore, that's the big deal. So in saying all of that, I just want to encourage you. By the way, in all of this, if you've got a prayer request or a praise report, don't hesitate to reach out. Or if you think you know the answer to this trivia question, let me know what it is. Who was Jacob's barren woman? Not bear woman, although they could be kind of close. Who was Jacob's barren woman? Was it Leah, Rachel, or Bilhah? Who was Jacob's barren woman? Leah, Rachel, or Bilhah? Well, some people say by that. Bilhah. Just leave it there. If you think you know the answer, you can reach out to us, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemusincrease.org. Who was – it should just really say who was connected to Jacob who was barren. Okay, because the way barren sounds like a bear. I'm not sure that's – well, it's just not the way to do that. Who was Jacob's barren woman? Leah, Rachel, or Bilhah? Okay, that's the question. You think you know, reach out to us and let us know. In the meantime, we're heading into the word of God. And here we go in Galatians chapter 4, and we're picking it up at verse 17. And I could do the rest of the show on this, but I won't, but I could. And here's what it says. This is Paul making reference to telling, just last week he talked about this. He said, "Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" Now, in politics, in media, in lifestyles, and different things like that, that happens all the time. Somebody tells the truth, they become the enemy. Okay? Happens all the time. I don't care what side you're on. It doesn't matter to me at all. Paul says to them, "I'm telling you the truth about the gospel. Am I becoming your enemy because I'm telling you the truth? Because the other people aren't telling you the truth?" Then he picks it up here in Galatians 4:17. He says, "Those false teachers who are so anxious to win your favor are not doing it for your good. They're trying to shut you off from me so that you'll pay more attention to them." So let's say something about this, because this is really important in our society. If you get your Q's and your P's and your P's and Q's from an influencer, you need therapy. Because that is the most ridiculous thing ever. To have somebody try to gather people for the sake of gathering people so that they can say they have gathered people could be, now, it is the height of narcissism. It's just like, you gotta be kidding. If the influencer is trying to influence for something that is good and has purpose and has some kind of value, even if it's not eternal value, if it's real value, cool, I mean, fine. But if, as most people know, anytime you get engaged with any kind of influencer in any way, and I'm not just talking about the internet, if you get with any influencer when it's not there guided or directed for honoring the Lord or trying at least to help the person step up, but it's all about the show per se, then it's just not going to work. Now, we do a show here every day. Love the show. Gives me a lot of hope. Gives me a lot of grace. Gives me a lot of energy. It blesses me on a regular basis. But if I'm just doing it so that you're going to, like, "Oh, I just want to tune in and listen to Dave," that's not working out. If we do what we're doing and you get one step closer to the Lord, then our secret goal is accomplished. What's our secret goal? To have you get one step closer to the Lord. That's what it is. Because if you get one step closer to the Lord, we still live in this place. And I don't have any problem saying this to you right now. Look. There's nothing I could ever do for you that will make the difference. There's nothing the government can ever do for you. There's nothing that this person, that person, this teacher, that teacher, none. God can do something for you that will make an eternal difference. That's why it should be one step closer to the Lord. That's why, and I'll just make this as clear as possible. I don't care what the situation is. I know. And you've heard me say it 1,000 times. I mean, through prayer, people have been raised from the dead. Through prayer, walls have fallen down. Through prayer, miracles have taken place. So when people go, "Well, why don't you just going to pray about it?" Well, Jesus thought it was a swell idea. Why don't you? And God is the answer that we're all looking for in those things. So here's your answer, more of God. So when Paul is talking about these people, these teachers, and he is clearly telling people, look, they're only doing this because it's just self-glorification. That's all it is. They're not doing it for any other reason. They just want you to pay more attention to them. He's like, that's a disaster. That is nothing short of a disaster. Instead, don't pursue that direction. That's his encouragement. And he challenges the church at Galatia, because the church, the Galatians, were doing great in the gospel. And then they got these other influencers, and then they weren't doing as good in their relationship with God. And Paul's like, these people are killing you. And you got to be able to see it. All right. I'll answer the trivia question. Who was Jacob's barren woman? Which one was the barren woman? Was it Leah, Rachel, or Bilhah? And the answer is Rachel. Rachel could not have the children. And the only reason I made the joke about the barren part or being a bear is because then she started to pester Jacob saying, "I want to get pregnant."
He goes, I'm not God. So anyway, that's how that went. Sounds like a lot of fun to me. Anyway, we'll take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
All right, Psalm 46, verse 1 through 3. This was the first psalm that was read to me when I went to Bible college, the very first class I ever took in Bible college, a bazillion years ago. Let me just say that. Psalm 46, 1 through 3. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their suffering. Here is something to consider that will be just absolutely a mind blower. How should you and I respond if the earth falls out of its rotation? Okay, so my brother-in-law works for JPL and is actually one of the people that helped write the program that helped land the Mars rover on Mars. He helped write the computer programming, okay? He's much smarter than me in those realms, okay? About my age, a little younger, about my age. Very, very intelligent guy, right? And he's the one I always make a joke, you know, what keeps the Earth, you know, rotating. And so you'll hear me say that it's on a perfect 23.5 degree, a rotation from the moon and from the exact rotation from the sun, or it's three mice chasing a piece of cheese and a wheel, one of those two. So the idea behind that and that whole story is the Earth is in this absolutely perfect rotation with the moon and the sun, and without it, the Earth would go through a free fall. Just even a half a degree off, it's over. It's all over. I mean, there would be instant tidal waves. Everything would just be upside down. And if that ever happened, you know, you would know that's the end, although that's not how the end's going to happen. We already know from Scripture. But here's what the psalmist is saying. It doesn't matter how bad it gets. It doesn't matter if your world seems like it's upside down. It doesn't matter if it's out of rotation. It doesn't matter if the mountains fall into the sea. It doesn't matter if the waters roar. God is a refuge, and a refuge is a shelter in a storm. You would first think of a lean-to. That is what a shelter in a storm is. So when it's raining, you find a lean-to, you put something on a tree, you put it against something else, and you get under it so you're away from that. And it says that God is a refuge, a strength, an ever-present help, which means he's helpful today, not just when it's all settled in eternity. And lies a problem for some Christians is they keep thinking, well, in the sweet by and by, everything will get worked out. Well, that is true, that everything will be completely worked out in the sweet by and by. But God is an ever-present help, which means for today and not just for tomorrow. And then the position of the psalmist is, therefore, in other words, it's a conclusion. So God is our refuge and strength, okay? So he's our lean-to in a storm. He's our ever-present help. Therefore, I don't have to be afraid.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Get ready for your next trivia question. I am anticipating a little larger response to this one than the last question, as I can always tell which trivia questions people like and don't. Okay, here we go. The worship of the wise men. Listen to what I said. The worship, not your manger, not your little thing at home. The worship of the wise men is reported by who? Matthew, Luke, or Paul? If you think you know, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email to david@hemustincrease.org. One more time, it's the wise men. I don't know how to say that any different. The wise men is what I'm talking about. Who reported that? Is that Matthew, Luke, or Paul? That is what you got there. In the meantime, can we do? Are you ready for a little DNA? Do you think Jacob can help with the DNA? You think he's ready? Maybe. I don't know. You want to try? He can try. I mean, you just got to tell him what words. If he's ready, great. If not, it's okay. All right, so we're going to do DNA. Hey, this is part of the process, part of the learning and growing process. So our DNA is what we're built of, our little molecules of what we're built on. Then we think this is how we should be remembering how to exist. Here it is. D, draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Daily. Why is it important to spend time every day? Because, first of all, there's a lot of bleh every day. I don't know how to spell bleh, but I'm sure it's there, right? B-L-U. There you go, bleh. And so if you spend time with the Lord, at least you're getting it. So this is one of the things the Lord said, and you can't get away from it. Jesus said, go into the closet and pray. You can get upset. You can't say that. I didn't say that. 2,000 years ago, Jesus said that. Go into your closet, into your private room, and pray. Why? Because there's no distractions. And you're not being, you know, you're not having your computer ding, your email ding, your phone ding, your dog barking in your face, your cat, now you don't have it. Just quiet time with the Lord. That's draw closer to the Lord daily. And never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Never, ever, 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 ever be ashamed of Jesus or his words. And then A, always be ready.
To serve.
To serve. You do that with such enthusiasm.
I can just be. To serve.
Okay.
Daily.
To serve. Daily. Daily. To serve. You got to serve, man. You can't just. This is. Here's the biggest problem. The problem is the giving of yourself is the example that Jesus left for us when he said that I came to serve and not to be served. And so when you do that, you follow him. And that's what you want to do. You want to follow the pattern of Jesus Christ. The bigger question I think most people think is, well, I don't know how to serve. Well, then here's a great idea. Ask God in prayer who you can be somebody who you can serve in the capacity he wants. Think he's gonna go, sorry, that's too selfish, I can't answer that prayer. That's not how that's gonna go. Okay, all right, we're gonna get into the teaching, but I'm gonna warn everybody who's given their answer, I'm being very nice here, that you need to make sure that your answer is correct. The worship of the wise men, not the angels saying anything, and not the shepherds. The wise men is reported by Matthew, Luke, or Paul. Double check that. If you think you know, then you can call 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email to david@hemustincrease.org. I think most people know it's not Paul. What that means is you got to look in the Gospels and see the beginning of the Gospels. You know, like chapter 2 of the Gospels there. You know, maybe of, I don't know, Matthew and Luke. Maybe read chapter 2, see which one you come up with. Okay, there you go. I can't give you any more hints because it's like giving it away. Let's go back to the text, and here's what the text has to say. After he talks about that, verse 18 in Galatians chapter 4 says this. Now, it's wonderful if you're eager to do good, and especially when I'm not with you. Oh, nice. But, oh, my dear children, I feel as though I'm going through labor pains for you again, and they will continue until Christ is fully developed into your lives. What? All right. The apostle quickly acknowledges it's good to be eager to do something good. You get what I'm saying? It's good. That's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. Eagerness is good. Eagerness with stress isn't good. Just eagerness is a good thing. Great. Especially if it's directed in the right place, it's great. But Paul is very concerned about something. What's he concerned about? He wants these people that he labors for and labors over to continue in their development of being Christ-like until Jesus is, wait, this is brutal, fully developed. Okay. I love you guys. You guys are just you're just a great audience. This right here, I read this and I go, wah. Why? Because the target while we're here on earth is to be fully developed in Jesus Christ in our lives. And so somebody has done this for 45 years and made drastic decisions and had drastic interactions with the Lord and miraculous. I see this goal is going on until my earthly days are done. I see this never ending. The apostle's concerned that he's going to have to go through the whole initial labor pains all over again for the Galatians. Can you imagine that? Now listen, it's not like Paul saying he knows what it's like to be pregnant. That's not what he's saying. But what he's saying is, look, I helped birth Christ in you, and your goal is to continue to grow in Jesus. But if you keep reverting to legalism, I'm going to do a rebirth of Christ in you, and we're going to go through all this stuff again. And he's like, maybe he's not ecstatic. Okay, that would be a nice way to say it. His concern is that he's going to have to go and do this all over again. It's like, look, I feel as though I'm going to have to go through labor pains for you again. Because you have to continue until Christ is fully developed in all your lives. Not so that, okay, well, and I accepted Jesus Christ, so now I'm going to take it from here. I'm going to tell God how to do it now. That is not the way this goes. So you don't start your salvation by saying yes and then tell God, okay, I am ready now to help you. That's exactly what Abraham and Sarah did when they didn't get the promise or the developments that they wanted in the time frame they wanted. Okay, God, I'm now ready to help you. We will tell you how we're going to fulfill your promise. That's what Paul's concerned with. He even uses this illustration about Abraham with Sarah and Hagar. Look, you don't take over for God. You stay close to God. You can't tell me the theme of this show isn't that. It is. It always is. It always has been. Yeah, some jokes too. But that's not the point. The point is this, that you continually develop in Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean you throw grace away. It means you grow in grace. That's what it means. Wow. Okay, for everybody who did get that wrong, I'm just trying to help them out. The trivia question, the worship of the wise men is reported by whom? Matthew, Luke, or Paul? And the answer is Matthew! Luke doesn't talk about the wise men. He talks about the angels and the shepherds, and the wise men's only in Matthew. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Okay, we'll take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. Can't stand the skill, can't
stand the shame. Have you ever wanted to get involved with a ministry that promotes Jesus Christ as Lord, but just don't know how? Serving in ministry is a matter of devotion, time, and talent. Are you looking for a place to try and test the waters? Do you want to get involved? Come join the Ambassadors Initiative. Be an ambassador for the David Spoon Experience. It doesn't pay great. Actually, it doesn't pay anything. But the eternal benefits are out of this world. Be a representative. Why not? It couldn't hurt. Well, we hope not anyway. You don't need to be a professionally qualified minister. You need to have a pulse. By that, we mean you need to have a heart. Just go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Click on the three lines at the top right of the website and then click on the Ambassadors Initiative link. Fill out the form, and we will reach out to you. Sorry, no parking tickets will be paid for you as an ambassador through this position.
Who is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon Experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I have wondered about him. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He's married to his best friend Noel, has three children, six grandchildren, and a dog named Bert. He has three separate ordinations from three different denominations and is a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theological studies, and has his doctorate of strategic Christian ministry. He has a weird sense of humor and talks a lot. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local and national news? I don't know. I guess people will have to listen to find out.
But Jameer, are you there with us?
Yeah.
Okay, do you think you have an answer on how many days between the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the ascension?
Is it 40 days?
That is correct, sir. You are a winner. Very nice. Did you have to look it up, Jameer, or did you know?
The funny thing is, I was reading this book, The Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren, and then it was just talking about how God, like, transforms a lot of people's lives in 40 days, you know, and that happened to be one of the things that he was speaking about. So that was funny. I had just read that today, too.
Wow, great timing.
It taught me something. It taught me something, too. So it's funny how you just spoke about it on the radio show, so I just had to call in, man. I always listen, so.
So the trivia question actually had a meaning for you.
It did. And now that just pushes me to, like, be more into also my Bible, because if I was, like, I should have known that, you know what I'm saying? So. But, you know, that taught me something. I thank you for at least having that question, because there's a lot of people who didn't know that, you know. So you're still teaching a lot of people. So thank you.
The David Spoon Experience on 770 KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. We're getting ready for our next trivia question. Let's see if you guys can get this one. This is a good one right here. Ready? Who was the apostle that rented a house to preach? Was it Paul, Matthew, or Demetrius? Who was the apostle that rented a house to preach? Was it Paul, Matthew, or Demetrius? If you think you know, 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483 as well. You can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. I am going to send you up to the website just real quickly just to remind you that we can use all the financial help that you can muster, because we're just a little tight. And guess what? What's today? 26th, right? All day long? So the 28th is coming. Dun, 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 dun. That's Radio Rent Day. And every day on the 28th, it's dun, 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 dun. So if you can help, great. Check it out on hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
HeMustIncrease.org.
HeMustIncrease.org.
Flop, flop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is.
Do you remember the actual cartoon that was in with the little kid that had the little hat thing on? Do you remember that by chance?
No.
Okay, don't talk to me. Thanks a lot, Jennifer. Just leave me out there hanging.
You're welcome.
Okay. Okay, trivia question goes to this. Let's just make sure we get this correct. The trivia question is, which apostle rented a house to preach? Was it Paul, Matthew, or Demetrius? That is the question. Probably want to check it out on Acts 28 if you need a real reference point. That's where it's going to be at. In the meantime, we are absolutely going to do a couple of brilliant jokes. So this is the time and the place where those of you are thinking it has to be serious and you don't like this part of it, you can change the channel or just turn it down for, like, I don't know, 2 minutes, because that's how long this will take. Okay, here we go. Are we ready for the jokes? Here we go. Joke number one. The employer says, I thought you requested yesterday afternoon off to go see your dentist. The employee responded, well, yes, sir. The employer said, then why did I see you coming out of the stadium with a friend? The employee responded, that was my dentist. That wasn't that bad. That was all right. Okay, here we go. A husband raced into his house. I found a great job, he exclaimed to his wife. The pay is incredible. They offer free medical insurance and give 3 weeks vacation. That does sound wonderful, said the wife. I'm glad you think so, replied the husband. You start tomorrow. Okay. I guess you didn't like Okay. That's funnier than the joke. I mean, come on. All right, Rancher, what kind of saddle do you want? One with or without a horn? Cowboy, without is fine. There doesn't seem to be much traffic around here.
You're killing me, Smalls.
Yeah, that's a tough one. And then, let's see. A Texan was on a flight and began bragging about the property he owned. How much property do you own? He asked the man sitting next to him. The man said, 40 acres. Well, that doesn't sound like very much. He said, where's that property located? The man said, downtown Dallas. You see? Okay. Never mind. Okay. All right. Who was the apostle who rented a house to preach? If you think you know, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483, or you can send an email, david@hemusincrease.org. We're now going to enter into the portion of Scripture that is what I call the parts that get skipped over, the human side of the Scripture, where you get to understand what people go through or think when they're writing. Remember, it's the verbal plenary process. That is how Scripture was written, verbal plenary. And what that means is that the person was under the influence of the Holy Spirit, but God did not eradicate their personality so as to them lose their personality. In fact, all of Scripture was written in a partnership with God, which, by the way, is its own testimony that God wants to be in partnership with mankind. It's like how the book was written, right? So Paul says this very fascinating thing. When I just finished up on verse 19, but oh, my dear children, I feel as though I'm going to go through labor pains for you again, and they will continue, until Christ is fully developed in your lives. Verse 20 is where I want to focus in on. How I wish I were there with you right now so that I could be more gentle with you, but at this distance, I frankly don't know what else to do. What people miss sometimes in Scripture is they think it's just a bunch of rules and so on and so forth. And what's amazing is if you really understand Scripture, like if you really like study it and don't just do it at a distance, you'll understand that it's dear human race, Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, love God. You'll really get that it's a letter from the Lord to all of humanity. And don't forget, Bible stands for basic instructions before leaving earth. So that could be very helpful for some people. But Paul says this thing, and I want to humanize it because I want you to understand that not just Paul as an apostle, but your pastors, your teachers, your leaders, your deacons, your elders, the people that serve, the people that operate in different capacities, the people that do the maintenance, the people that do the sound, the people that do the tech, the people who are volunteers, everybody in your church, there is a human element to church. And it should not be thought of as that's bad. We're people. That's not bad. God created us. We got a lot of mess. We got a lot of problems. That's what salvation's about. That's what grace is about. That's what mercy's about. But look at what Paul says. He says, how I wish I were there with you right now. I could be more gentle with you. But at this distance, quite frankly, I don't know what else to do. How often do people teach on Paul saying, I don't know what to do. I don't even know what to tell you. And this is what I love about Scripture, is how God crafted the personality of the authors into the framework of the text. In case you're wondering, Paul expresses it's a pretty decent level of frustration. He's telling the believers he wants to be there with them. He doesn't know what else to do. He's very concerned for their spiritual well-being, and not everything in the kingdom of God is perfect and roses and Skittles and everything else, and people should stop acting like that. It's one of the reasons that we don't support a good fortune-only gospel. It's like, really? Abundant life means you'll have lots of life, not lots of money. So let's just at least pull that back some and then look at it the way that the Lord intended it. And it's supposed to be the fullness of life. And the fullness of life obviously includes other people. And Paul expresses a frustration. So it's not a sin for you to go, I don't know what to do about this. Now, he's writing him a letter and he's trying to help. And that's good. I mean, it's all a good thing. But sometimes you'll come across something you don't know what to do. Gosh, this is really irritating. It's really frustrating me. And of course you're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Of course you're going to, you know, maybe it's time to talk to that person. Maybe it's whatever the situation. Maybe it's the situation no person's involved. It's just frustrating you. Right? That's not abnormal. You're not a weird person. You're not a weird Christian. You're not lacking in some spirituality or even maturity, to be quite honest. I don't think Paul was being immature when he's saying, I don't know what else to do. I'm at a distance here. I can't do anything the way that I want to do. I'm too far away from you to help in this situation. I got to tell you where I identify with this the most personally. Maybe this will resonate with some people or not. But you guys know, or most of you know, about Julianne and Jared. So four kids, right? And then you have Addiebug, who's the firstborn of all of the grandchildren. Then you have Isaiah Anthony. You have Easton Scott, and you have Anna. And Easton Scott is a special child, specially challenged child. You're not allowed to say words like, you know, all the words they use. You can't say those words. I mean, I say them to Julianne because I don't really care. But we're on the air, so I'm trying to be nice. But the bottom line is they're at a distance. And when I pray for them and I talk to them often, I can't do as much for them in Texas while they're in Tennessee. I can't watch the kids while they go to the hospital with Easton from Texas. Now, in fact, when there was deeper emergency things, we actually drove up, grabbed the kids, brought them home. I mean, we've done that at whatever junctions that could work. But there's a frustration of the distance and not being able to do anything. Hey, you ever feel that way about a family member, about a friend, about people that you have in your life? That's normal. Stop thinking you're weird or bizarre. It's okay to have that sense. There is comfort in the Lord and talking to people on a regular basis. Our communication now is mass communication, right? You don't have a letter that goes by Paul. It gets there, you know, what, 10 weeks later or 20 weeks later. Now, if somebody burps wrong, we know about it on the news in about a millisecond, right? And just remember the end times, Jesus said there'd be wars and rumors of wars. You can't even hear about rumors of wars until there's mass communication, which we, 1992, we're going to war. We're taking all our people and putting them in with them, embedding them. It's like the new word embed. My point in this is telling you that it's a part of the process. And it's okay to have that sense of a little bit of frustration. You bring it to the Lord. You stay in contact with the person as often as you can, but you recognize you're at a distance. And some things you're going to have to let go of and trust more for, even as a grandfather, if you don't want to do it that way. Get that? Get what I'm saying? Okay. All right. Which apostle was the one who rented a house to preach? Was it Paul, Matthew, or Demetrius? And the answer is Paul rented a house to preach. Nothing wrong with that. Okay, we'll take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Since the dawn of the internet, people have been looking for a website they can be proud of without costing an arm or a leg. People want a quality website to promote their ministry, business, hobby, or passion. Introducing Cowpunch Sites. Cowpunch Sites can help you create and maintain a quality website. From design to security, Cowpunch does it all. Cowpunch is a family-owned and operated business, taking a fresh approach to business. Lots of clients at lower prices. Make mom happy.
The most significant benefit of working with Cowpunch Sites is that you work with real people, not cheesy templates. No outsourcing. It's $57 a month, and there's no setup fee and no cancellation fees. When you go to cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's me. Oh, did I mention that it's $57 a month? Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no bull.
Dave, this is a nice radio station.
Oops, sorry. That's Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no baloney. There, that's better. Cowpunchsites.com/dad.
Hot topics.
Pointing out inconsistencies is not disparaging.
It's just the truth. Number two, our job as in church discipline is where you can't judge those that are outside the church. Number three, the people we were talking about were Christians anyway. Number four, you think this is bad? Wait, this just gets worse and worse, people. Regarding Paul's statement of speaking evil of leaders being inappropriate, the context is also critical and can be misapplied. Now, how many times did I tell you? Watch out for bad Bible brains.
The David Spoon Experience.
What is the David Spoon Experience, you say? I'll put it to you like this. Do you love a good joke that's pretty bad?
What do you call an animal that doesn't practice what it preaches? A hippocritopotamus. Come on.
Do you love being able to ask questions, comments, or having someone to pray for you?
If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, we don't want it to die of loneliness. We want it to have a chance.
And last but not least, do you love some trivia?
All right, we got our trivia question. Who made clothes out of leaves that were sewed together? Somebody want to answer the trivia question? Oh, okay, hold on. Here you go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
We're talking to Mary.
This is Al.
This is Brother Ace.
This is Eric.
This is Deborah.
Now, if that doesn't make you curious, maybe you should tune in and check it out for yourself.
Think of me as the big brother that won't go away. That's me.
Tune in to the David Spoon Experience weekdays at 1:30 p.m. on 770 KAAM.
If Jesus.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. That's what I love about KAAM. Let's see. We're going to do our trivia question and then do history and then finish off on the teaching. Here's your trivia question. Revelation. Last book in the Bible. How many chapters? There you go. How many chapters? Revelation. It's the last book. Not Revelations. Revelation. Singular. How many chapters? If you think you know the answer, it's okay to look it up. You don't have to Google it. You got a Bible. Look it up. 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. We are going to do our history, so let's go to history now.
Let's go live big in the past. Let's go live big in the past.
Okay, for those that want to know, today is National Pancake Day.
Ooh, yum.
I know. Is that not great? I'm just like, where are pancakes?
I know, right? You were supposed to bring them in, weren't you?
I forgot.
Thanks.
National Forget Day then, apparently. It's also Johnny Appleseed Day, which many of you heard that, Phil, where the guy's like, the lard's been good to me. I still think lard's not that good for you. National Love Note Day, which was also yesterday, so that just means that they're confused as to which day it should be. And then it's National Lumberjack Day. I'm a lumberjack and I'm okay. I sleep all night and I work all day. Okay, never mind. okay, 1957. You guys know this? You have dated yourself. Leonard Bernstein's West Side Story opens up on Broadway. Wow.
I love West Side Story.
That was a great idea. When you're a jet. Okay, yeah.
When yes, you're a jet, yes. You're a jet all the way.
Okay. What's this other? Oh, here. Brady Bunch aired its first episode on TV in 1969. That just makes you feel, I don't know how to respond to that.
Old?
Yes, thanks. 1981, baseball pitcher Nolan Ryan throws a record fifth no-hitter. What a pitcher. Yeah, okay, done with that. We're done with that. That's good. Here's your trivia question. Book of Revelation. That's right, it's a book. People are like, well, it's the letter. Well, okay, technically it is a letter, but we also call it a book. How many chapters in the book letter? Okay, there you go. If you think you know the answer, you can reach out to us, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Of course, I want to thank Jennifer for doing another amazing job. Thank you, Jennifer. I appreciate it very much. And we'll finish off this teaching, and if I can remember, I'll tell you what the trivia is before we exit. If you're lucky or unlucky, depending on how you look at it. Verse 21 of Galatians chapter 4 says this, listen to me. This is kind of a weird, listen to me, you who want to live under the law. Do you know what the law really says? The scriptures say that Abraham had two sons, one from his slave wife and the other from the freeborn wife. The son of the slave wife was born in a human attempt to bring about the fulfillment of God's promise. But the son of the freeborn wife was born of God's own fulfillment of his promise. Now, I included this portion because we're getting ready to go into the illustrations next week, and then we're going to get into the seriously deep stuff in Galatians. But just be real for 5 minutes. It was 25 years. 25 years between God's initial statement and Isaac being on the chopping block. It was very, actually, the initial promise to the birth was 25 years. Let me say that. I said that incorrectly. I want you to tell me that if you had a promise from God and it was 2 or 3 years, you'd probably hold pat pretty good. That's not that. But then, hold on, you go into 10 years. No, we forget. Now you go into 15 years. This is what happens. At this point, you're like, where's the promise? So what Abraham did, or actually what Sarah did, and Abraham listened, was said, here's Hagar. Sleep with her, have a child, God's promise will be fulfilled. So they had Hagar, right? And it's 12 years after that, basically, the child, the promise came, right, from the child, because God was not unfaithful, never blew it on a promise, never missed a single promise ever to anybody that he's ever actually made. And now you got Hagar, and you've got Ishmael, and you've got Sarah, and you've got Isaac, and there's a problem with the kids, and there's a problem with the women, and there's a problem with the... Here's the problem. The problem is everybody trying to fix for God what God has not yet done. That's the problem. Everybody trying to make it so that, okay, well, Lord, I love you. I think you're awesome. Your speed is horrible. We'll call you Mr. Molasses. We're going to help you. Nobody's going to say it that way, but when we do the things to fulfill the promise for God, we're saying it. And so what the illustration that Paul is bringing out, and just listen to the terminology, it's just fast. In fact, you should read it in the NLT so you could really appreciate the straightforwardness. The son of the slave wife was born in a human attempt to bring about the fulfillment of God's promise. How many times have we done that? In marriage, in life, in business, in ministry, in parenting, in our occupations. How many? How many times does it take for God to teach us, for us to say, I surrender, and wait, and really surrender it. I mean, surrender it. Stop trying to hold on to it. Stop trying to make it happen. It's the same thing when churches do this, and they do this a lot, and I think it's great that they do this, just in case you're wondering. They you know, put up, they have a cross, or they have something on the front of the stage, and at the front of the stage and at the cross, they give everybody a little piece of paper, and you write on a little piece of paper your sin or your struggle or your whatever, and then you take that piece of paper and you bring it up to the altar and you put it on the altar, and then you turn around, and then with the other hand, without anybody seeing, you pick it back up and put it back in your pocket. Because why? Because you can't fully leave it surrendered. You have to help. It's just like, don't tell me you don't do that. I do that. You do that. We all do that. In this case, this is a big deal, right? Because this is a promise of a child who is supposed to be, by the way, and just so you can know, the surrender here, this is just going to bother you a lot because it bothers me every time I think about it. the surrender that Abraham was required to do before God was to trust him for the promise God had made him. And then, because he didn't hold fast and couldn't keep it together when it was time, and Abraham loved Isaac so much, God had him bring him to the altar to sacrifice him. God wasn't going to let him kill him, but in Abraham's heart, he would have done it. But the reason that he got tested again is because he is already trying to push the promise of God forward in his own strength. And now, if he was going to still believe God for the promise, he had to be willing to let go of the promise, because Isaac was actually the fulfillment of the promise of God. And Abraham had to sacrifice it on an altar. Yes, he had to sacrifice Isaac, his son, but he also had to sacrifice the promise of God and trust God for it. How many of us go, yeah, I don't think so? It's hard. But what Paul is saying is, if you operate by law, that's the direction you're going to go. You're going to try and help God fulfill it. If you operate by grace, you can be steadfast in your trust. Isn't that just challenging? It's challenging. I don't care who you are. You mean there's sometimes I got to actually let go and do nothing and look up to God and go, all yours? Yes. That's when you really have a trust in God. But I can do so much for him. Yeah, I think he knows. I'll go out on a limb. He probably knows that. In answer to the trivia question, because I could have forgot that, but I didn't forget that. How many chapters in the book of Revelation? The answer is 22. There are 22 chapters in the book of Revelation. Okay? All right. I hope you guys had a good time listening to the show, and I hope it was a blessing and you get one step closer. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. 22 and a half hour break, then we'll come back. More insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.